You're listening to The Shiny Sofa, the official podcast from Latex 24/7, the premier online magazine dedicated to latex fashion news, reviews, and interviews.
Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of The Shiny Sofa. Coming up on this show, we talk about Arthur Avellone, Alex Scott in YSL, and the abundance of latex fashion at Cannes Film Festival. And joining us today is La Boutique Bazaar and Charm School owner Alexandra Houston.
It's just rewarding all overall to get to work with such fantastic talent, people, diverse personalities. Sometimes a little challenging, but I love it.
So take a seat on the sofa, make yourself comfortable, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, via latex247.co.uk.
Hi everyone, thank you for joining us on episode number 5 of The Shiny Sofa, the latex fashion podcast, brought to you by Latex 24/7. Each episode we'll welcome a special guest, and I'm so pleased to say that today's guest is Alexandra Houston, who is best known for organising markets, La Boutique Bazaar and Charm School. Thank you for joining us, Alexandra. How are you today?
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. This is super exciting.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Hope you're not too jet-lagged. I hear you've been away for a few days.
Yes, well, it was only 1 hour's time difference to Italy, but thank you, EasyJet, for getting me home at 4 a.m.
Oh, fantastic. Just what you want. So, here at The Shiny Sofa, we like to find out a little more about our guests and what makes them tick with a segment of the show we call
The Quickfire Round.
We have a huge list of questions which we feed into our random generator, and our guests have 60 seconds to answer as many quickfire, multiple choice questions as they can before the time runs out.
This is going to be fun.
I hope so. You ready, Alexandra?
I'm ready. Let's go.
I think the top score at the moment to beat is 18, Ifram, right?
I didn't know.
So you'll have to be quick.
I have to be super quick. All right. Let's do it.
Cool. Right. Here we go then. Go for it. Be rich or famous?
Rich.
Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Large crowd or a small party?
Large crowd.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Train or plane?
Both.
Camera shy or camera hog?
Camera hog.
Sunrise or sunset?
Both.
Scary movie or comedy movie?
Comedy.
Long drive or long walk?
Walk.
Read a book or watch a movie?
Neither. I've got ADD.
Money or love?
Money.
Burger King or McDonald's?
McD's.
Good choice. Shower or bath?
Shower.
Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
Marvel or DC?
Both.
Pool or beach?
Pool.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Oh, and that sound there means that that's the end of our time. I make that you got 19.
Well,
well done. I think that pushed you at the top of the list, if I'm right. That's fantastic. Well,
no. Yeah, I'm indecisive. Like some of both of those. But yeah, there we go.
That's all right.
I'm going to have everything.
It's never a bad thing to have more than one choice, is it? So that's cool. So let's take a look at some of the recent latex clothing and fashion news stories which we've covered over on latex247.co.uk. So much news to go out from the last few weeks that we were completely spoiled for choice. But really must go with starting off with the fantastic Arthur Avellone, French designer, who seems to be everywhere at the moment. His latex design seems to be worn by every celebrity out there. Arthur was a recipient of a prestigious award from the Andam Fashion Awards over in Paris. So it's an award that showcases some of the most innovative and forward thinking designers, and as been a real springboard for designers in the past that have allowed their brand to jump to the next level. I think it's great, Alexandra, to see a brand like Avalano being recognized for doing something a little bit different and doing something that's bringing that latex into more of a mainstream, bringing it to the knowledge of the public, really.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you have a brand like that. It really does confuse me a little bit because you look at these designs that are just so incredible and they are so unbelievably incredible on the people that are wearing them. On these beautiful celebrities and things, and the innovative use and the pattern cutting and the sort of thicknesses and the different colors and things that they're using are so unusual. But I just wonder, like, how it ever gets to a commercial market. You know, like are these dresses only ever intended for red carpet use? Are they made for celebrities and that's it, or? Is it ever going to be sold anywhere? Like, could you pop down to Selfridges and buy yourself an Avalano latex top, you know, at a reasonable price point? I always wonder where a brand like that is going, where it's like, it's so close to almost being costuming.
Yes. I suppose it's that kind of couture feeling to it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's super. Got that exclusivity, really. That's, but like anything, it's often... The fashion houses like Oliver Avalano that of course feed down to the more accessible brands for people, isn't it? It's something that they take encouragement and styles from and feed that into their own work. So,
well, absolutely. I mean, the moment that Kim Kardashian started wearing latex, it was like we saw a whole new audience customers appear. You know, that was a huge, and even to this, you know, like some of the colors that she was wearing were quite unusual, like the nude latex, and then recently the silver dress, and then you see like little micro trends come up within that, and the customers are not just typically your kink people, but also quite glamorous, you know, females wanting to have a bit of a Kim K vibe, also coming down to the events to shop, so it's definitely a celebrity influence happening.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think that's been the case for decades now, hasn't it, really? And there's always been that celebrity influence in a lot of fashion. So, one may continue in the world of latex clothing.
I don't think there's been anyone bigger than Kim K in terms of getting latex fashion out to the masses. She definitely was the one that brought it to everybody. I'm not saying I'm a Kim K fan. I'm just stating the facts. But she's been really responsible, I think, for a huge seismic shift in the typical latex customer.
Definitely. So, huge congrats to Arthur and his team.
Yes. And Arthur, if you are listening, I am a size 14 and you can find me in London. I really like that silver dress that you have. So you
get yourself down to LVB and get yourself a stall.
Yeah, exactly. Self can dream.
Next up, we covered the gorgeous Alex Scott, who's a former professional footballer for the British women's team, and also TV presenter. She was presenting the UNICEF Soccer Aid program over in June, and Alex opted for the gorgeous YSL latex dress that we've seen a number of other people in before previously. I just think that dress is incredible on her. It shows her figure off fantastically. It couldn't really show her shape any better if it tried. It's quite phenomenal, really.
I mean, I think I'm going to come in here and just say, you know what? In my opinion, gorgeous person, gorgeous woman, gorgeous dress. UNICEF Soccer Aid, maybe not where I would have picked that dress for. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like some celebrity stylists, I'm not really sure where they're going with their choices. Like, okay, it's great that we want to make latex a little bit more mainstream, but I want to see it on the red carpet at Cannes. I want to see it at the MTV Music Awards. Do I want to see it at the UNICEF Soccer Aid like presenter? Like, I'm not sure. I'm sure I'd like to see her in that dress, but maybe somewhere a little edgier.
Maybe the stylist went a bit mad that day, and
you're like, this is the only thing we have that fits. It was actually for somebody else, but here, put it on.
And of course, it was down to the mainstream media to call it PVC, which pet hate. But there we go. Yes,
this is just the story of our lives, isn't it?
Definitely,
eye rolling, correcting. Yes, insane.
Yes, one day they will learn. Yes. So great to see Alex wearing that. It was really, really spectacular dress for an event that ultimately raised a lot of money for people who need it most. So that's definitely a bonus.
Well, good. If the latex helped with the charity,
definitely. I'm sure there's probably a few people called in just for the latex, without a doubt. Yeah. And finally, we'll have a look. We'll go back to Avellano, but also a little bit of Suco Kudo over at Cannes Festival in France.
Mm.
Yeah, Cannes was just a wash with latex this year.
It's very warm. So I'm very impressed that people chose those long sleeve dresses.
I think in lots of cases, it was certainly the red carpet, wasn't it, that they were on?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that tends to be the evening time. So maybe it was a little bit cooler.
I'm going to hope for their sake, but I have spent time in the south of France, and even in springtime, it could be very warm in the evening. So they were whisked straight from an air-conditioned limousine to an air-conditioned theater and only had to...
They probably were, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we saw actress Rubio Fee, saw model Isabella Fontana. We saw David Beckham's girlfriend, Mia Regan. Romeo Beckham. So yes, thank you. Yes.
You're breaking some news that nobody was expecting.
and also a couple of French models, Cindy Bruna and
Eva Herzogova.
Yes, she was there. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And Ophelia Goulamand. I hope I pronounced that. I probably butchered that one, but
I wasn't even going to try with that name.
No. Yeah, everywhere. Just couldn't for that week, you couldn't open up Instagram without seeing some celebrity at Cannes wearing latex. It was that was a busy week. But yeah, great, really great to see. And I think
if they all thought they were going to be the only one wearing latex, they all thought one that was going to get all the press because they were wearing rubber. And oh my god, look at her! And then it was like, oh, turn your head there. Oh, she's wearing latex. Look, we're all on our way off to Zorcha Garden.
And also, good to see Asuka Kudo over there as well.
Yes,
yeah, always great to see a London British brand being shown off to the world.
Classic, always beautiful.
Oh, definitely, beautiful. Definitely, without a doubt. Yeah, always, there's always news to cover from Atsuko Kudo. So that's thank you, Alexandra. We'll leave that there and we'll be back in a few moments. Thank you.
You're listening to The Shiny Sofa, the official podcast from Latex 24/7, the premier online magazine dedicated to latex fashion news, reviews, and interviews.
Welcome back to The Shiny Sofa, Latex fashion podcast brought to you by Latex 24/7. Join us again this episode is Latex alternative fashion market organizer, Alexandra Houston. Welcome back, Alexandra.
Hello.
Hello, good to have you. Thank you. So I can start off with a question I tend to ask most people that are kind enough to join me. When was your first exposure to latex clothing? How did you discover it? Was there a particular moment in time when you saw it and thought, do you know what? That's for me.
So I was a 90s club kid. And I still very much am into that aesthetic. And there was definitely a lot of latex going around during that time, along with like fabulous faux fur and PVC and lots of OTT stuff. So I always kind of held that in my back of my mind for when I was, you know, going to be fully grown up, that I'd be able to dress like that as much as I wanted. And yeah, and then when I kind of properly got into the kink scene in around 2009, I was so excited to get some latex dresses designed to my own specifications and
yep.
colors and things that I like. So yeah, it's definitely always been with me since a young age. And it's really wonderful when you're an adult and you can you can buy your own latex whenever you want.
Yeah, one of the advantages of being an adult, without a doubt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So was it that clubbing that drew you towards latex clothing? And I suppose what is it that keeps you coming back to it? What's the appeal to you? Is it because it's different? Is it because it's a bit of a niche? Is it because it's something that's a little bit outlandish, maybe in some cases? Or?
Yeah, definitely all of those things. I think, you know, my personal style has remained like really consistent since I was quite young. Like I
yeah.
love that sort of colorful, you know, queer drag kind of vibe. And
yeah.
latex just fits so neatly into that kind of aesthetic. And the fact that I really like to project a look that isn't really super accessible. It is more of a sort of a creative fantasy, and latex uh-huh. being that sort of slightly, you know, edgy kind of thing, you know, most normal people wouldn't know how to go about wearing it or where to buy it or how to style it.
Yeah.
Gives it that real appeal for me. Plus you look amazing wearing latex. So there's always that.
True. True. Yeah. And true. Massive, massive confidence booster as well. Yeah. It's quite amazing sometimes to see the difference in people's projection of themselves when they're wearing latex. It's yeah. I think one of our previous guests described it as feeling like a superhero. You know, it's just it just changes the way that you feel about yourself, and in most cases that's a pretty positive thing. So cool. What's the sort of best reaction you've ever had to wearing latex fashion or anything shiny? Is it generally been quite positive? Have there been any negative occasions?
Ooh. Well, I mean, one of my greatest pleasures in life is going out in what I like to call full drag, full glamour tits mode. That's my alter ego, wig and everything, and just being on the tube or like being in the supermarket or being really normal and just watching people's just heads turn. I mean, probably the most annoying thing was when I lived in Miami, people used to shout like Lady Gaga at me quite a lot.
Yeah.
I was okay. Okay. Well, if that's all your tiny brain can reach for right now. I remember one time walking down the street in Miami with my friends going to our fabulous club night that we used to do on Tuesdays. And I had like a bumless spanking skirt.
Okay.
And
yes.
I was walking down the street and a car full of men started shouting homophobic slurs at me.
Oh my God.
I was just like, what is actually happening here? So that was the only time I've ever had a bad experience wearing latex.
Yeah.
And I was like, have you seen this booty? Like, are you me?
I think that's a fair point. You know, it's like anything in life, isn't it? You're always going to get some people that can see it negatively, but for the majority of situations, it's people see it as a very positive thing. You know, people just want to, maybe people that haven't tried latex fashion before just want to kind of have this urge to go, what's that? Can I touch it? How does it feel? You know, what's, you know, people get very interested, don't they, in it? And
yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I, you know, polite curiosity is one thing. Homophobic slurs was another.
Yeah,
like, I'm not even sure what you're shouting at me here, because that has to do with my outfit and what the point of that was. But obviously they were so taken aback by the latex and by the fact it was bumless that was all that came to mind for them. Their poor tiny brains.
They'll learn eventually.
They probably all went home and were like, actually.
Actually, yeah, yeah. Why can I get myself some of that? Yeah. yeah, so what's the best kind of reaction you've had then? It's flipped on his head. What's the most positive reaction that you've had from...
Oh my gosh. Well, I've definitely made the choice to wear latex to work corporate Christmas parties when I used to have a day job as an assistant for some pretty big companies. I made sure to work latex into some of my outfits. I definitely went to the Kerrang Awards, which was put on by a company I was working for, in a see-through latex dress that showed everything, front and back.
Awesome.
And had walked straight into the CEO of the company, whose eyes nearly fell out of his head. Also, there's always the kind of fun of like showing up in latex outside like a vanilla club and the velvet rope just opening.
You
know, they don't know who you are, but you are looking like that and you are coming right in.
Coming through.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, definitely. 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 That's it's interesting to hear that. It's it's great to hear that there's positive reactions. And I think we're seeing at the moment, particularly, aren't we, on social media, that there seems to be a bit of a backlash against certain latex content creators and designers and brands and stuff. We're seeing quite a purge, really, I suppose, in some cases of accounts that seemingly are following the rules, but just because they happen to have a certain latex hashtag on them. They're either getting shadow banned, is not a term I like using, but they're getting dropped further down the search results, aren't they? And the visibility is decreasing. And I suppose for somebody like yourself that's reliant on that to run a business, that must be quite a harrowing experience, really.
Yes, I mean, shadow banned is one thing, deleted without warning is another. A while ago, maybe even going back a year or two, that the hashtag latex had been banned. There was a lot of banned hashtags that I've come across. I think like curvy model was one.
Pump
day, come on, it's also hypocritical. And the thing is, like, Instagram is, it's full of women or men or whoever using their bodies and their assets, to make money, to direct people off Instagram to perhaps purchase, proper pornography or whatever. And that's fine. I understand that there's rules surrounding that on Instagram, but what's really frustrating is when the accounts that are getting deleted are people like simply modeling fashion, designers of fashion. It's literally just a shiny fabric. And people are fully covered. They're not directing anyone to see nude photos off Instagram necessarily. And they must be directing to an event or like an online shop or something. And these accounts are getting taken down. It's really, really harmful. And because there's just so little clarity, I think we're all just so incredibly frustrated. There's no like sort of ombudsman you can go to,
yes,
to say, hey, like, I've been following the rules. I'm a fashion designer. Like, I'm not soliciting anything apart from the sale of clothing.
Yeah.
Or I'm just modeling things, fully within the same guidelines. There's plenty of people wearing a lot less who are not getting taken down. It's really hard for our business. Seeing accounts like Torture Garden and Club Verboten being removed, I depend on fetish parties, all of them.
Yeah.
Not just one. Like, I need all of them to exist for people to buy clothes from my businesses to go to wear to the fetish parties, and for models and sex workers to be able to dress themselves in beautiful things. Like, I need their accounts to exist.
Of course,
so
yes.
Very stressful for me when that happens, because I wonder, are my accounts next? Even though I do everything to follow the rules. But I feel very like helpless and want to just do everything I can to help those guys get their accounts back. Because otherwise, the whole ecosystem just crashes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think you used a good term there. There's no ombudsman, is there? It's a sort of faceless situation, isn't it? Where when something like that happens, you've got no real human being to speak to try and sort out what is, in most cases, clearly, an incorrect action.
And especially when you're dealing with AI and things like, I know for myself and for, myself and other accounts, that for some reason, some kind of AI gets triggered around pictures of ball gags or sort of face harnesses where you have like a ring around the mouth.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing at all happening in the photo. but that somehow triggers off the thing. And even if you ask for reviews on those type of pictures, like I had posted one that had a ball gag that was all made of pearls. It was like a Chanel necklace or something. Same thing. And it comes down as a violation on your account.
Yeah.
It's like, how could you possibly know that?
Yes.
And
it's
just incredibly frustrating for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful to everyone that's working on the campaigns now and trying to get Meta's attention. It's tough stop.
You mentioned Torture Garden there a little bit, and that kind of brings us around, I suppose, a little bit quite nicely back to the Boutique Bazaar, because I believe that was something that was just Torture Garden was part of the original conception of the Boutique Bazaar, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I had been running my own pop-up events for about a year, based on sort of independent designers and vintage clothing, more aimed at a younger, like vanilla kind of audience, creative, but not kinky per se. And, you know, I had been going to Torture Garden for a couple of years at that point, and I cracked the formula for the pop-up events, which were quite sort of a new thing at the time. This was like 2013.
Yeah.
Club markets were kind of new, and I just thought how well that idea would lend itself to the kink atmosphere, because at the time sort of Etsy was the place where a lot of kink designers were showcasing their works, but
of course, yes,
could really see that, like, there was an opportunity. Instagram wasn't really as a big a thing then back then, you know, so that to get people together and actually to be able to shop in person, and a market, kinky market is not a new concept. Obviously there's other ones out there that have been going for a long time, but I just kind of thought that I then had the skill set to do that. So I approached Charlotte from Torch Garden, who I didn't know very well at the time. And she was really up for it. And I was really excited about that, because I, being new to the kink scene, needed a big wig like Torch Garden to help me secure the designers and, you know, help promote the event. You know, I didn't have any channels like within the kink scene yet. It was great to just get in a big name, you know, people with contacts, and, you know, to be able to bring them in and sort of help them curate the first lineups. And yes, so we've been kind of working together on it ever since.
Yeah, cool. So I suppose let's just go over a little bit of what the Boutique Bazaar is for people that may not necessarily know. It's, as you said, it's an alternative fashion kink market, boutique market that you run several times a year down in London.
Yeah, so we only do four times a year because it's very, very big, but that's exactly what it is. It's a space for creatives, designers, models, photographers, everybody to mix, meet, socialize, network, and also to buy amazing fashion.
And that's great. It's evolved into something that's more than just a market, that it, as you say, it's the place for people to come and socialize and talk about the alternative world. That's fab. That's fab.
It's always amazing when I'm in a chat group and I'm sort of stalking and I hear people talking about the Boutique Bazaar. They don't know I'm in the chat group. And a lot of people just refer to it as a social. They don't even see it as a shopping event. They don't ever come with the intention of buying anything, but they like to be around the creativity. And obviously it's just a big knees up, a big mixer, and a chance to actually be able to chat and not be in a loud club.
Sounds good to me. So what's a typical event like for you then? Is it? I'm assuming it's fairly busy and hectic. And
yeah, I mean, we have systems in place that we've been using for a long time, and I think they we have a lot of designers we've been working with for a long time, so we know what to expect. When they arrive, like what kind of setup they have and things. But you know, we always want to be known also as a hub for new talent. Like we always say, it doesn't matter how small your brand is. We have a lot of brands that feel like they're not ready to do something like Boutique Bazaar, but we coach them through and say, look, hey, you may have only made like a collection with 9 things in it, but bring a sample of each of those 9 items and bring business cards and just show people what you make, give out your cards, get Instagram followers, get real life feedback from customers, network, meet models, meet other designers, and approach it that way. There's no sort of, you have to be at a certain level to join. So we always have a real mix of personalities and a real mix of, sort of experience levels within it. And then of course all our amazing customers come down, and it's just a full spectrum of the kink scene. It's not cliquey. It's people from all corners of the fetish world. And I really, really love that. And we like to try to have as much product diversity as possible to cater for all the different personalities that come down.
Fab. Fantastic. you kind of touched on it there again, Alexandra. Actually, the next kind of question to you is going to be that you spoke about the ability for people to actually engage and talk to the designers, actually be able to touch the items and feel what they're like and try them on and get help and tips and advice and stuff. How crucial do you think that is to the world of latex clothing and you know, but both for people that are experienced this, but also particularly for people who maybe haven't yet taken the plunge?
I think it's really crucial having that touch point because, you know, latex in particular is an expensive investment. And
yeah.
I think while a lot of the sales are done online, you know, well, you have the, you know, and a lot of the designers are great at working with your measurements and things, but
of course, yeah.
And can be a bit stressful spending, you know, £150, £300, £400 on an outfit that you haven't actually seen clear photos of it. You haven't seen the thickness of the latex. You haven't seen the colors that are available. Yeah. I mean, a lot of designers tell me they shoot their items in black. So people just buy it in black or red or whatever the base color is, but they can actually be made in neon pink or yellow or purple or whatever you want, but they only then order those at in real life events when the designers have the swatches there for them to look at, have some samples in different colors. So I think that just being able to do that, I mean, a lot of our designers are there with a tape measure around their neck, and I think having the designer actually, people struggle to take their own measurements and find that a little bit overwhelming, but having a professional person measure you up correctly, talk you through the options. Maybe you're like a bit self-conscious about a particular part of your body. They can add a sleeve or a longer length. You know, it just opens up that world to have something created for you that's perfect, or to try something on that they happen to have already made and to be able to see it in the flesh. And then you can buy it on the spot knowing you already feel great in it.
Of course. Yeah. 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 That's, that ability for the designer to measure there and then can only be a good thing, because it's ultimately going to make the final product be a better product for the person that's buying it, isn't it? It's going to be a proper fit for them. It's going to be a better value for money, really, isn't it? They're going to get what they, you know, they're going to get what they're asked for and what they're expecting, really. So
yeah, absolutely.
What's the most rewarding part of everyone in a market like LBB and we'll get onto in a minute, also Charm School?
I just love it. I just feel like it was what I was born to do. I'm a real mother hen. I really care about people. I'm super sensitive to people's situations, and I really want to help people grow and develop. I'm really proud of some of our designers that I maybe found in other places, like in vanilla markets, and kind of saw that their product could be adapted into a kind of more fetishy style and kind of guided them through that process. And some of them now are really smashing it as fetish designers who aren't even necessarily part of the fetish world. But, you know, because I was able to pick out the talent and bring it through.
Yeah.
And I just really like to look after everyone. I love dealing with all the different creatives. It's such a privilege to work with all the designers that we have. I respect them all so much and their talent. So it's just rewarding all overall to get to work with such fantastic talent, people, diverse personalities, sometimes a little challenging, but I love it. Each and every one of them, they're my chickadees.
Fab. I suppose before we go any further, we should kind of mention some of the typical latex brands that you tend to have on site down there. Can you name a few of the guys that tend to turn up for the majority of the markets?
Yeah, so we have a real mixture. We have kind of our big guys. We have like sort of more classic brands like House of Harlot, Bondinage, Ectomorph, things like that. Then sort of brands who were quite new when we were first working with them, maybe like your Rose Noir Designs or Amentium, brands that are really coming through.
Love Helen stuff. It's I think Amentium is one of the most unique brands for the last few years that's appeared in the market.
And then we have like sort of kind of a new sort of more like club kid influence, colorful, like Studio Fuck Lexi, Cracking Counter Couture, brands like that. And even if you're tiny and you only have one little rail, we've got space for you. Come down, show your stuff. Marcus Breeder, we've had Jack London, like lots of different kinds of, you know, smaller scale brands who may one day be as big as your Bondenages and your House of Parlett. So
fingers crossed for them, definitely. Cool. What's the funniest moment you've ever experienced at an LBB event?
My God. I mean, like funny or horrendous. We've had overflow toilets. We've had models who maybe had a few too many drinks and caused havoc. We've had people bring their canine companion who was actually a human canine.
Okay. Yes.
Of course. I mean, yeah, we've stopped traffic with models doing shoots in the middle of the street. Like, I mean, 10 years of doing LBB almost can be 10 years next year. And we have had some wild times. Everybody's generally pretty well behaved, but it can get a little frisky towards the end after the cocktails have been flowing.
Sounds like you need a 10-year anniversary party, doesn't it?
I think that's definitely celebrate. What works.
Yeah, definitely. So you started LBB in about 2014, you said. Oh, yeah. You ran that, still continue to run it. And then in 2022, you decided to launch an online portal for alternative fashion accessory brands and, of course, latex designers, which is called Charm School. Tell us a little bit about how that came about and the reasons why you decided to launch that.
I've actually had the idea since I first started going to fetish clubs in 2009, but there wasn't any software that could build a marketplace like Etsy. So obviously Etsy built their own marketplace, eBay built their own marketplace with their own engineers and stuff. So there was no way to do it apart from building it from scratch. And I went through the motions a couple of times and it just was out of reach. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of pounds, to build something. So I kind of had always had the idea in the back of my mind and it was parked. And then some kind of technological developments happened that made it a little bit easier to build something like a multi-vendor marketplace. And it was great because people have been forever messaging the Boutique Bazaar social media accounts, asking us when we would be able to make an online version for people that weren't able to access the event because of various reasons. They're not even maybe in the country. So it just seemed like the natural thing to do. And having worked at places like Depop and ASOS Marketplace, I kind of know my way around marketplace websites quite well anyway. So it just seemed like the right thing to do to have, especially as you know, people are still shopping places like Etsy, but finding that those websites now are becoming the Wild West in terms of like a mass-produced product from China that's really bad quality.
Of course,
They have to wade through a lot of that we could create a curated space that was only for the very best in creative kinkwear that's handmade by designers that we've hand-selected.
It's a unique offering, as you say, really, Alexandra. It's something that I've never seen before that's specific to the particular genre. It's great for it's great to be able to bring those brands together again, the likes of Amentium and Crack Encounter and Fornication and Rose Noir and things, to bring them together under one virtual roof.
Exactly.
And just quite right to say, give people the ability that can't maybe get to LBB in London to buy those things.
Yeah, and we actually have, we have more designers on Charm School than we have on an LBB, because obviously Boutique Bazaar is limited to designers who can make it to London. So one of the most exciting things about Charm School is that we're expanding into other countries. We have designers in the States, we have designers in Europe, in Australia. So the goal is to keep that going so that people are able to shop essentially the best in fetish and kinkwear from around the world from one portal. 24/7 from wherever you are. So whenever I see an order from Singapore or somewhere come in, I'm like, it's working.
That must give you a real level of satisfaction to see that.
I mean, trust me, I get an email every time an order is made and I am always very excited. So order on Farm School, I have seen it and thank you.
Do a little dance and everything.
Literally. Yeah. I'm still at that stage.
So you've taken that knowledge of LBB over the years. You've taken Charm School. You've actually recently then started doing Charm School pop-up shops.
Yes.
In fact, you've got one this weekend, haven't you?
I do, yeah. So the idea before that was kind of twofold. One was that, you know, we haven't really found that there's a desire for like the gigantic LBB events that we do, you know, four times a year in the summer, just because London is just thinned out a little bit. People are traveling, their festivals are kind of, there's not such a demand for like that much fetish wear in one place in the summer. People are not buying it.
I would actually probably say as well that it's like anything. If you, you know, the like you say, you tend to do LBB four or so times a year.
Yeah.
I think if you did too much, you would almost sort of dilute and water down the brand, wouldn't you, really? So keeping that to a limited number keeps it feeling fresh, keeps it feeling new and exciting for people.
We want people to be looking forward to it. So Charm School came about because it was a way to do sort of a smaller gathering, just maybe 15 brands in a central Soho venue that we wouldn't be able to do normally because it would be too small.
Yeah,
it's only for Charm School sellers, so that it's kind of an added perk for being on the website. So it fills the gap in between when there aren't LBB events. Also, it allows us to do things like workshops and things that we can't do at a full-scale LBB event because it's just not the time or the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and also, obviously, Charm School is a new brand, so it was a chance to kind of get it out there on its own as well.
Yes.
So that was the kind of point of it.
Get the word out there, definitely, definitely. So that's just bringing it back to our kind of shared love of latex clothing. Latex fashion means different things to different people. Some people say it's empowering. Some people say it's outlandish. Some people say it changes their complete outlook on themselves. What does latex fashion mean to you, Alexandra?
I think whoever said the superhero thing like had it spot on. Like, it's always funny when people meet me and I'm not in drag because I don't have a lot of hair. Like, my hair just doesn't grow, so I always wear this massive wig. I've got latex on, so I do look like something out of, you know, a superhero comic book. I feel like that person as well, and I love the way that it, you know, flaunts your assets, shoves your boobs up to your neck, smooths out your curves. You know, it's just, it is just literally the most head turning thing you can wear, I think.
Definitely. 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 What would you say to someone who's interested in the idea of wearing the material? Maybe someone who hasn't yet done so, was thinking about it. What would be your best piece of advice for someone who's thinking of trying latex for the first time?
So I do get asked this a lot, and I tend to tell people, like, the worst thing you can do when you're going for latex for the first time is to buy cheap latex.
Yeah.
Because people buy garbage that's super thin, it rips, it's unflattering. You can even go in on like an affordable price point with something like Honor. You know, which is obviously a commercial kink store, but they have good quality product.
Yeah.
My first ever latex dress was from Honor. You're still going to get something that fits well, stays together, good quality thickness, and just to not be afraid of it. And also to kind of inject your own personality into it. Like, my old flatmate was a corporate lawyer, not into kink at all, but she was very open-minded. And she was like, I want to come to one of these parties. And I want you to design me a dress, you know, that's going to reflect my personality and make me feel comfortable in latex. So we ended up with a pencil length cap sleeve, dark green, beautiful dress that was just how it reflected her own personality. So you can find something that's just right for you, or you can start with something very simple, but just don't buy it cheap.
Awesome. Awesome. What do you think are the biggest barriers to people who haven't tried latex fashion?
I mean, I think the cost is a bit scary for people, but it's just one of those things that you're going to have to just jump in.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to spend the money if you want to have a good experience with it. The same, like many things, like, don't go for super cheap gas station sushi, you know, because it's not going to turn out well. It's the same, same kind of thing. Like, if you're going to do it properly. And I think that a lot of people just kind of sit on the fence for that reason. And also a lot of people have bad body image and feel like latex won't suit them. But I can assure everybody out there that, you know, if you get with a good designer who understands how to make custom things for different body types and, you know, can take proper measurements,
it's
something beautiful that's just for you. So I think those are the two main things. It tends to be financial, or that people are just a little bit scared of, you know, lumps and bumps and things. But latex really is the most flattering thing you can wear.
Definitely, definitely. Sounds like the ideal opportunity to get down to LBB and get yourself measured properly and get something that makes you feel like $1 million.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and all our designers there are super kind, and they're used to working with different body types, and, you know, they want to make you feel comfortable. Like, they understand the nerves that people have. And I think all of our designers are just really welcoming and really kind. So I think that's the main thing. If I found like anybody had any kind of attitude towards making custom designs or size inclusive stuff, then, you know, they wouldn't really be welcome to trade with us.
Definitely. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So what's next for the Boutique Bazaar and Charm School? Where should we look out for you next? What's the next big thing next big step for the brands?
Well, I had a very good conversation with someone today who organizes another very big event, and I don't want to say anything yet just in case. It would be around the same weekend as LBB. It would involve lots of international fabulousness, but based in London, so we'll have to stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
I really want Charm School to grow. People, please come and have a look. We've got over 2,000 amazing products on site. There's more than 75 international designers. If there's anything that's stopping you for on the site that you're running into problems, let me know. I really need that feedback, because I've built this for everyone. This is a passion project at the moment. You know, this is something I've built for our community. I built to support our designers, to give an extra income stream to them. So going to be keeping improving Charm School. And then I'd love to actually start to do some of the expos next year, do a bit of German fetish ball, do a stall.
Awesome.
That's been a big goal of mine. So hopefully next year you'll see me at BoundCon and things like that with a little pink Charm School pop up.
Fab. Well, we'll make sure that we cover that if you do, and we'll get something up on the website and tell anyone about it, without a doubt.
Yes.
So, just to kind of finish up here, Alexandra, just give everyone a quick point as to where they can find out more information about LBB and Charm School. What's what websites and socials and things that should people go and look at and follow?
So, so at the moment, well, we haven't been deleted. Our Instagrams are very active. So you have at Le Boutique Bazaar. I know it's grammatically incorrect in French. You don't need to write into the show. We're already we found that out very early on. It just didn't work so well as Le Boutique Bazaar. We have a website, which is leboutiquebazaar.net, which doesn't really have a lot on it, but you can go there to sign up for the mailing list. Please sign up for the mailing list, because if we get deleted, we can still get in touch with you and let you know where to find us. Charm School Shop is charm.school, S-K-O-O-L, like old school, shop. So Charm School Shop, and charmschoolshop.com is the website. So that's where all our products live. But we have all the links in bio on everything. So you can go and head there, explore. There's some little additional links and things to, like, blog I wrote about beginner's guide to latex fashion. If you're struggling and want some more tips. So
worth a read. Yeah, worth a read, definitely.
Just up on socials.
Fab. Well, we'll make sure we put all those links in the show notes as well, so people can find it straight from there.
Correct.
Well, thank you, Alexandra. We really appreciate your time, and been awesome to speak to you. It's been really interesting and really great to hear from someone who clearly has a real passion for latex fashion, but also someone that has a real passion for showing that to the rest of the world and spreading the joys of shiny.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful world that we inhabit, where people can really express the truest versions of themselves in whatever shape that may take, you know, whether you're an all black latex, full enclosure, catsuit kind of person, or a neon latex micro bikini kind of person, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm here for it. I'm here for you. Send me your pictures. I want to see. Follow me on Instagram so I can see all the amazing outfits I'll follow back. I literally live for this world of fashion. It's the most exciting world of fashion there is, I think.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alessandra. Appreciate that. We'll speak again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for on this episode of Shiny Sofa. Many thanks to our special guest, Alessandra Houston, for being with us today. We hope you found the Shiny Sofa comfy and will join us again next time. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcast, and be sure to head over to latex247.co.uk for all the latest latex fashion news and reviews.